Tonight, The Last Christian presents The Seed of Abraham, Christ, Covenant, and the Final Generation. Our weekly comprehensive Bible study with David Paxton starts now.
Good morning, everybody. We are back again on another episode of Last Christian, and we're going to have a great time today because today is Bible study day. That's where we dig in and really find out what the Word says. So we're going to talk about Abraham since we've been in 12 through 16 for a while, and so obviously we'll talk about Abraham still. Joel, we're still talking about Abraham.
Well, I'm not shocked.
We're going to move a little bit into the New Testament today, I think.
Well, yeah, cool. But, you know, the thing is, David, is I don't get enough of talking about Abraham because, you know, he is the father of nations, you know, of many nations. And, you know, when you break it all the way down, he's a pretty important person to talk about in the Bible.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have history if it wasn't for Abraham.
Right. Right.
It's pretty much the focus of all the world's attention these days, all of his kids.
Yeah. Well, I got my Bible ready. I'm ready to go.
Oh, good. You can ask a lot of questions. Well, since you got it open, why don't you pray us in?
I will be happy to, sir.
All right.
Father, we come to you and we ask that please that you bless this broadcast and help David to make the presentation so clear to someone that it awakens them and invites the Holy Spirit to come into their life to where they may accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the whole mission of our show, Father, and we hope that you will bless that and make it happen for someone out there that needs you so very badly, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Joel, have you ever heard the term replacement theology?
I have, yes.
Yes, probably a thousand times on the show, right?
Mm.
We're going to talk about the crux of that and actually where both sides get their arguments from.
Okay.
And I do want to make it very clear as well that, you know, God doesn't just dismiss his old contracts. You know, we can't really walk away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean on an individual level that you can have some issues with God, but God made a promise to a nation, okay? But it's also to a person. So we're going to examine both sides of these and see where we come out. a lot of you probably know where we're going already.
Right. Well, you know, David, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to hush for a minute. And that is the fact that if God promised Abraham this land forever and then change that, then he can change anything else, including our salvation. And he's not going to do that. You know,
yeah, that's so, kind of the main point.
Yeah, that's it. That's all of it to me.
Now, we can establish that. Again, there's two sides of that coin as well, where he's not going to forget about his covenant, okay? And he will do everything that he set out to do. You, personally, on the other hand, can dismiss his covenant and walk away from it.
Right.
So it's not really a matter of losing your salvation, but he is not going to leave you just because you sinned in one way or the other, as long as you don't walk away from the covenant. And that's kind of, you know, where we're at. So you can't lose your salvation because you sinned and, you know, yelled at your kids and slapped them in the head or something. However, if you say, well, I don't want to be with Jesus anymore and you know, that's stupid, I'm out, then that's a different story. So disregarding and dismissing is different than making mistakes and asking for forgiveness. Same thing here. You know, when he said they made the promise in the seed of Abraham, and people say, oh, well, they kind of messed up. Yeah, but we're going to look at, you know, he still keeps his end of the covenant, and then they can repent and accept the covenant with the seed, which is Christ. But let's start here. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, okay, and that basically says, Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Isn't that fun and exciting?
Yep, I like that.
Okay, the question becomes, what is thee?
What is thee?
Yeah.
Well, bless thee. And I'm assuming you're asking me if that means only Abram or all.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, no. It means he and his descendants. And I guess maybe I'm not real sure on this one. Maybe also to include those that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior at a later time.
It could be, but the word is thee or thou.
Okay, thee, thou. Explain, David. You got me. You got me at this point. Go ahead.
Okay, and this is where the King James is handy at times.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I got, by the way, just the King James.
Yep. So the ye would be plural here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thee would be singular. And said, so if it was plural, it said, I will bless ye and make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So people will come along and say, well, if this is speaking specifically of Abraham, okay, I will bless thee.
Okay, I had never caught that before, but that makes sense. Thee and ye.
Yeah.
Very, very, very big difference there, right?
Yeah, it's more prevalent in the New Testament, because there's a difference between you singular and you plural in the Old English. So you see verses that say, you shall do this. Well, is that a singular or is it you in general? You know, ye shall or thou shall. Okay. So thou shall do this or ye shall do this is singular or plural. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting to see that here. Okay. But let's look at the parsing of this, shall we?
Okay.
Why not?
Okay.
So it says here in the Hebrew, barak, right? It's 1288. So it's a verb. And it's in here. The parsing says the PL imperfect, jussive, cohortive, first person, common, singular suffix.
Okay.
So you there's
define,
that.
Do you want to define the definition now?
Not really.
Okay.
It means all right, this is the end of the word, because there's endings. They don't have I will bless you. Okay? It's literally one word. And the and a baraka. So at the end is an added letter, and then that would indicate I will bless you.
Mm, okay.
It's not like two words in the English.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of stuff, but it's a verb. It's imperfect. We're looking to see if there's any plural. It's a particle. It's a conjunction. So there's a vav in front of it. So this one word literally says, and I will bless thee. And it's a word, vahach, vawa baraka.
Okay.
And five words. And I will bless thee.
Okay.
So there's that. But it's not plural.
Okay.
It is singular. Okay. So it is in the singular sense. So I just wanted to get that out, because there are people who say, oh, it's and they're right on this aspect. It specifically says, I will bless you, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then the sentence goes on and says, I will make your name great, and thou, it's not ye, thou shall be a blessing, not ye shall be a blessing, it's singular again. So I will make your name great, Abraham, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those that bless you, and curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So that is singular, okay? And that's what Paul talks about when we get over there.
Okay.
And So we see this, and so on that end of the argument, that's correct. This is about Abraham specifically, not the entire nation of Israel, as we would say. However, there are other verses that do this. It goes down through Isaac, right? And then also, so let's look at 15, chapter 15, 1 through 6. And these things, the word of the Lord, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Exceeding great. This is like, wow, this is super fantastic, ultra mega gnarly award. For Abram, and Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer?" And he said, "Behold, you have given me no seed when born in my house. And behold, the Lord, word of the Lord came, saying, this is not thine heir, but one shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven, tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall thy seed be." Okay?
Yeah.
So if we look at that, the word is Zerah. And we'll go into, hang on 1 second. Computers are slow.
Okay.
All right. And so shall thy seed be. And the word here is also singular. Okay? In the word Zerah or Zeracha. And the way it's used here, Zeracha, okay, your seed. So it's your seed. So that's interesting. The seed is singular. And he believed the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. And then it came unto him and said, "I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees." So again, he's talking in a singular sense here. All right. So,
well, backing up just for a second there, you said, I think you said thy seed. So, in other words, the Lord is making it really clear that the descendants are coming directly from him. Directly,
yes.
From him. Okay.
Seed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make that point really, really clear.
And then we'll jump over to 17:7. "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee." Okay, so it's one seed. Actually, let's look this one up again just to, you know, I'm not talking out my butt.
okay.
"I will establish and a generation and thy seed." Okay, so we look under here is Zeracha again, and again it is a singular word. "I will establish between thy seed," singular, "and a generations, an everlasting covenant, and then unto thy seed after thee." Uh-oh, we're clogged. So that one is, let me see. Okay, that is Ol Zeracha. Yeah, there we go.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at this, and it's really clear. Again, I'm in the new in the King James Version here. "I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations." So he's not talking about right now. He's talking about their generations. That's future tense, right?
Exactly.
To be.
So that's what I wanted to bring this. So it's a singular seed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. That's good. It's a conversation, not a dictatorship. It's a collective noun, can mean either singular descendant or an entire lineage, depending on the context. Yet while the physical descendants of Israel are included, Paul shows there is a deeper prophetic hidden singularity in the term. So I wanted to establish that. Every time he said it, the word was singular in the Hebrew.
Okay.
And that's what we really got to understand. So there's a prophetic clue. So let's turn over to Galatians 3:16. Galatians. Who doesn't love Galatians? All right. And we'll start in, 13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or addeth to it. So in other words, he made a contract with you, because mm-hmm. we've learned contract is covenant. Mm-hmm. And you can't do anything once it's confirmed. Once it's confirmed, you can't add to it. You can't take away.
No, this, no. What do you call those things? Not addition, but
Addendums.
Addendum. Yeah, there's no addendums to it.
There is not. Like Hamas. Remember, they signed that peace agreement, mm-hmm. and then they said, "Oh, well, this is subject to negotiation." No. Not how this works,
right?
It's confirmed. We made an agreement. This is the agreement. You don't, keep on working on the agreement after you signed it.
Yeah.
But that's Islam for you. Okay. And he says now in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He had not said, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's where he got this from, because you look in the Hebrew, it's all singular.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. That it should make the promise of God of none effect. Okay, so there's both sides of the argument is right in here. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why do we have the law? He says, "Well, why we got the law if it's all by promise? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator." Now, a mediator is not the mediator of one, but God is one. So he's talking about this, and we do have a handful of law keepers in the body. Welcome to the show. New Torah keeping folks.
Yeah.
Just be aware you can't keep all 600 and 3rd, whatever, however many it was.
Right.
You messed them up. That's why it's more about the promise. So if the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, keeping the law is not going to get you salvation.
Right.
But the promise mm-hmm. to Abraham is. Okay, well, why do we have the law then? Because it was added to show you. Okay, you need this. These are all the things you're doing wrong, and they demonstrate it. So, in other words, it's like the evidence in the court, or going back to the contract thing again. All right, so here's all the evidence. Boom, 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 boom. That's why you need Christ, and so it should come until Jesus comes and pays for it. And it's mm-hmm. the same idea as why he has to rule for 1,000 years in this age of 7,000 years, because he has to demonstrate the righteous way to run the world so he can judge against the other ones. So that's mm-hmm. why we have the law. It's something to judge against.
Okay.
Because if he didn't give you the law, then you'd be like, well, you didn't tell me that was wrong to steal.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know what? You're right. You have to prove that. Which, by the way, here's a little nice caveat for you. If you guys are ever called into court anywhere, they simply cannot bring any charges against you if you don't understand.
Right. This is true.
They can't. They're literally not allowed to. So, this is purely for entertainment purposes, folks. But if you're in front, you say, "I'm sorry, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand. Well, these charges, you were speeding. Is I'm sorry, I don't understand." Because they always ask you, "Do you understand the charges against you?"
That's right.
And yeah, we go, "Oh yeah, I get it." Because I understand the charges against me doesn't mean I'm innocent or guilty. It's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say I don't understand, they literally can't bring anything against you. Again, purely for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, and of course the way around that is the insanity defense.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is, actually. I don't understand.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, how about now? Nope. Still don't understand. Well, I wrote it out. Nope. I don't understand. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. So try that. Or actually, try not to be in court.
Try not to be in court in the first place. That's mm-hmm. a better idea. Yeah.
Purely for entertainment purposes. All right, where were we? Okay, so here we are. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. You can't play it out of the great white throne judgment, though. He's like,
No.
Romans is like, nah, you knew.
Yep. That ain't gonna
don't
work.
Play it out here.
Ain't going to work. Yeah.
I know David told you that, but he said it was for entertainment purposes. It's not going to work at the great white throne, but we'll see what happens here. All right, so that's the deal. The Old Testament was given, the original Testament, the law was given to show you where you're going wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I think the powerful part here is knowing that it is in Christ. So it doesn't disannul Israel at all. Okay? Mm-hmm. It just means that they have to receive their Messiah. But it also opens the door that all the Gentiles can receive that same Messiah.
Well, because now doesn't verse 15, again, Galatians 3:15, doesn't that make it clear that the covenant remains in effect?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't see there's anything there that would say that just because Jesus came, that's the fulfillment, that's the end of it. Now you can give away Israel's land and all that other stuff. Am I right on this?
Yeah, it doesn't. So the promise was given to Abraham. It's in his seed. But remember, Jesus is of the Jews.
Right.
And that's where I think a lot of people will go off the rails. It's his seed. It's literally Abraham's seed coming all down to the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And the Messiah came to save Israel.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As a group, they walked away. Okay. But the promise is still there. What they're walking away opens a door. So now all the rest of the nations who are under other gods, now he's the Most High God. And now they are able to come in. But again, you know, the chicken event tells us that they will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So on an individual level, it's going to be up to every person whether they received the Messiah, okay, which is Jesus, or whether they didn't. It's the same with every person on the planet. If they're either Jews, that did receive the Messiah during this age of grace, or there are Gentiles that receive the Messiah during this age of grace. Mm-hmm. Either way, if you do not receive the Messiah, then your sins are not paid for, because that's what the covenant was for. That's what the Last Supper was for. Remember, everyone at the Last Supper was Jewish.
Right.
And he said, I'm coming back for you. I go to prepare a place for you. It was just really nice of him to allow us as Gentiles to come in with them.
Right.
100%. Okay. However, if they dismiss their Messiah, then they can't come. He says, I don't know you. And Jesus said that when he was here, which means he was talking to the Jews. So that means some of them will say, okay, well, didn't we do this and that? And say, I never knew you. So that's kind of where he's speaking to. But it's the same with every nation. It's literally the same litmus test. You either received Christ or you didn't. All right? That does not change the fact that Israel as a nation, because that was promised that Jesus would come through that seed, that doesn't change the fact that they will repent and they will come to know their own Savior. And that's where we got. Let me see. We're going to get that a little bit into the second half. Okay. Because we're just 4 minutes out here. Mm-hmm. So the seed itself is Christ alone. But in him, we become one seed. You see, the the two things there. The seed is the offspring, so we become one. And that's where the term is, where we're one in Christ, the spiritual offspring of Abraham. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, because Israel as a physical nation will be able to, you know, do the things that they're doing now, they still can't become the spiritual seed until they receive the Messiah. And that will happen as we get into the tribulation periods. So the promise was not totally about the physical lineage, but about the covenant of faith and the promise made to Abraham. And it's clear, we talk about this a lot, that Abraham, he said, your seed will be as the stars in the heavens and as the sand on the sea. Mm-hmm. All right, and earthly. It says dust in one place and then sand in another. It's the same idea. Basically, there'll be the earthly seed. So if you parse out this picture, and I'm trying to be careful and slow so I can really get this picture into your head. He does promise the physical offspring, all right? Mm-hmm. But that physical offspring has to reject the Messiah in order to open it up to the rest of the world, or as we know it, the Gentiles, okay? And that's why that happened. Because if they did receive him at that time, then, you know, he says, you know, Jerusalem is mine, his territory, and it would be limited to that territory unless it was like before when you had to come in, get circumcised, and do all this other stuff. But because they rejected him, now that opens him up so he can be the king over all the other kings. He could be the Most High God. Now he has jurisdiction over the Prince of Persia and the Prince of Greece and the Prince of Grufunkistan and Africa and whatever else they got. Yeah. All right, because, you know, we talk about the Council of the Gods in Psalm 82 and the Mount Hermon where they came down to rule. He always has a council. And they kind of had the idea that he was just one of the gods. And he's like, no, I am the God, the creator, you know, the highest one, the Most High God, he says. And this demonstrated it, because now he did get crucified and he did rise from the dead and he paid off all of our debts. It proved that he was now over everything. So that opens it up. So now we have these spiritual offspring. Okay. That's us, all who are in Christ. Jew or Gentile, if you receive Jesus as Messiah, you are now the spiritual offspring as the stars of heaven. Okay. There will come a day, and probably in a very near future, where Israel as the physical nation will repent. That's what the 7-year tribulation is all about. It's for mm-hmm. chastisement of Israel. So they repent and they say, oh, what happened to your hands? Where'd you get them wounds? They say, I got them from my friends. And those will be the ones who live through the tribulation and start the inhabitation in the millennium, where the Jewish nation will rule on the earth. Mm-hmm. That's the sand. Your seed will be as the sand of the sea. Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. So both in Christ, two different roles, two different purposes. But they will rule and reign on the earth and in the heavens. So if I would suggest you come with Jesus and rule in the heavens and be part of the bride of Christ, it's probably the best idea. Now, he came down and he died. He paid off your sin debt mm-hmm. for that. So I would highly recommend, it's not magical words, it's just, I accept your contract offer, Jesus, and now I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. We'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
One voice is daring enough to speak the unfiltered truth to a world seemingly unraveling by the hour. The Sutherland Report, hosted by United Kingdom expert commentator, filmmaker, and conservative Christian host Mark Sutherland. The Sutherland Report brings clear, bold, fearless insight into government deception, cultural collapse, and the spiritual warfare hiding behind it all. From the UK to the political battlefields of the world, Mark connects the dots between prophecy and today's politics, where along with his guests, he exposes the hidden agendas so many don't want you to hear. Each powerful message presented without compromise. The Sutherland Report is the place where truth still has a voice. Catch it each and every day at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio.
So guess what, folks? We're back. I know Paul was looking for the rapture even back then. So are we still today. But we're here. Praise God. We'll keep working. Now, we were talking about the seed of Abraham, right? So let's hit a couple of points along the way, and then we'll get into the 1-2 punch of replacement theology.
Yeah.
True or not true. That's your test for today. So the physical lineage we talked about, it will make a great nation. Genesis 12 all the way through 17, he just talks about that. And nice seed, we talked about the singular seed. Then we get into the New Testament. We talked in Galatians. That was fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. And then now we're going to jump into Romans. Have you been in Romans before?
You reading it? Yeah, many times.
Oh, okay. So in chapter 9, it just says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me the witness of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's jump on down a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go to verse 7 now. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall be this thy seed shall be called. So in verse 5 it says, whose are the fathers in whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are called, or which are of Israel. So here we're getting into the crux of the matter.
Okay.
Not every Jew is really a Jew.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? Okay. Because just because of the seed of Abraham, are they all children? But in Isaac, thy seed shall be called, in verse 7. That is, they, which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. So again, we're getting back into the promise here.
Mm-hmm.
So the promise is in his physical seed, but the promise is something bigger than that. Because it's Christ, it's his seed afterwards. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children not being yet being born, neither having done any good or evil, that for the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Okay, that may or may not have been a footnote, but it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated.
Hated.
What shall we say then?
Wait, is hold there it, unrighteousness? Wait, hated. Who? Esau hated. Who?
Hated it.
Mm-hmm.
He hated Esau. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Probably a little, firm.
Yeah,
the word is Maseo.
I was going to say that's tough. I mean, is that what was really written in the original? Or do you know?
But it's not how we think of it today.
Okay, can you define that? Because that's rough. Yeah, that's really rough.
It's more something of an aberration, something detestable.
Okay.
So he detests him. It's not like we said, like he's mad and I hate you, I hate you. No.
Yeah, I mean,
because of who Esau
I'm thinking detestable. Yeah, I'm thinking more about how I say stuff like I hate it when you do that. Something like that. Is that kind of the context? You know.
Yeah, kind of like loveless,
Yeah, okay. Okay.
In other words, it's something
I told you a billion times now that every now and then you read something in the Bible and it jumps out at you for the first time. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of them right there. Okay.
Oh. Hey, today.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
That was from In Living Color. Sorry about that. So basically equivalent to not loving or loveless or to slight.
Okay. There you go.
It's probably better. So I was slighted Esau. And it's because Yisrael went after all those, you know, foreign women is one of the reasons. Okay. That's not the reason why. That's that's why he did that, is because he was, you know, everything about him. Okay. So I got a friend of mine, Justin, wrote the Epic of Esau. And he thinks he was like more like a Bigfoot, because he says he was hairy. And then they actually put goat skin on Jacob's arm. And it's like, was he that hairy? Wow. Did he look like Bigfoot? I don't know. It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
But it kind of implies that. That's that's what's wild. You got to read his book. The Epic of Esau. So is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He said, that's up to me.
Yeah.
Okay. If I want mercy, if I want compassion, that's on me. Because John, you know, six, we always read John 3:16, but we don't read John 3:18, which says, if, you know, you're already condemned. Mm-hmm. So if he wants to condemn every last person on the planet, he has every right to, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
But he also says, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So I don't know if he sees our hearts, or he just chooses us randomly. Or how's that? But he's going to have mercy on us. I know I want to be with him for all eternity.
Me too.
So thankfully he had mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like, you know, Elvis Presley. Mercy. So that's fun.
I'm going to throw this in real quick for whatever it's worth. Right, I was watching a YouTube video. And I watch these every now and then where somebody claims that they went to hell or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, there was an atheist. The reason that I watched it is because it said it's an atheist that went and came back and, you know, was Christian from then on. And I was good with everything that she was saying right up until when Jesus said to her, you can stay with me now or you can go back. In other words, you can accept me as your Lord and Savior right now or you can go back. And I said, no, that's not how it works.
So, yeah, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she was just given a vision and she was knocked out. I don't think she really died.
She was shot. She was shot in the chest and died supposedly on, you know, in the opera. Anyway, so much of that. I don't know why that popped in my mind, but it did. But it got you off topic for a minute. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's a good question, Dave. We should get some NDE people in here.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
And see, because I wonder if some of them were just, you know, an out-of-body experience versus actual death.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Mm. It's something to explore. We'll find out.
Yeah.
All right, so Romans 9 basically tells us there's an outer or physical Israel, which is descendants by blood, and an inner spiritual Israel, those who are Abram's faith. No, it's really cool. The seed line comes through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And it's the womb of the covenant. Again, we talked about that last week a lot. Sarai, at the time, she said, well, you're completely barren, so let's wait 13 more years just to make sure you're barren. And then you'll have a kid. Okay.
Nice.
And then through Abraham came Isaac, the promised son. And that's a type of Christ's miraculous birth, because it was, you know, she shouldn't have had a baby and she did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same picture that we see there. Now, through Isaac came Jacob, renamed Israel, meaning prince with God. And Jacob's sons came the tribes. And from Judah, especially from David, ultimately Jesus. So the physical seed of Israel served as the vehicle through which a singular seed, Christ, entered the world. So we have the physical seed, which was necessary because that's what brought Jesus, the Messiah. So their role as a physical nation was to bring the word, to show the world what God, the Most High God, the big God, the creator God, all right, what his rules and regulations are. They were to demonstrate that, and then through them would come the Messiah, who would bring the new contract to pay off your debts. So that's the physical seed.
Well, now let me jump in again real quick here. As far as I'm still trying to sort through this thing with Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Those that came from Abraham aren't really Jewish. Even those that I can't say that they came from Abraham either.
They're the Abrahamic line. Yeah.
Yeah. They aren't necessarily, or they aren't Jewish.
They aren't. They are not sons of the promise.
Yeah. It starts with Isaac.
It starts with Isaac, but then we have Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to Esau. It goes to Jacob.
Yeah. Okay.
And then through his 12 sons.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to follow along here. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it was picked out, and there's a double down on the pattern of the firstborn mm-hmm. not getting the inheritance yeah. because of evil. And that's it goes right back to Adam. You got the first Adam and the last Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The first one messed up, so it was the last one that came and fixed it. It's the same pattern we see all through the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we'll see it again. So, but without Israel, the covenant could not historically be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Yet the covenant's ultimate purpose transcends Israel's national role. You see? Mm-hmm. So we got the promise of the seed, mm-hmm. which is necessary, but we also have the promise of the heavens, which is where the spiritual Israel will come in, if you would.
Right.
So in one sense, you know, the replacement theologists have one point, but what they're doing is misconstruing that point and saying, well, since we're the spiritual Israel, that means the earthly Israel is no good anymore. No bueno. And that's just not the case.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And that's where you got to work that out. Yes, we are the spiritual Israel, and we are the stars and the promise mm-hmm. if you're in Christ. But that also includes any Jews who receive Christ.
Right.
Okay? Because it's the ecclesia, which means they're called out of. And Paul talks about, well, called out means I'm called out of being a Jew, or I'm called out of being a Gentile, and I'm the church. Paul had three different people: Jews, Gentiles, the church. That's it.
Yeah.
You were one of those three. Mm-hmm. There was no mix. And he said, if you're called out, then you are now in Christ and a new creature. You're not the Jew anymore. Okay. You're like an upper level Jew, I guess. You're the fulfillment Jew. I don't know if that makes any sense. but it doesn't mean you're dismissed.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And Christ is a true Israel, because in Hosea 11:1 it says, out of Egypt I have called my son, and Matthew completely, you know, applies this directly to Jesus in 2:15. He says this is him. And where Israel failed in obedience, Christ perfectly fulfilled the covenant terms. So therefore, Jesus is not only Abraham's seed, but also a true Israelite and the embodiment of Israel's calling. To be a light to the nations, basically. That's Isaiah 49:3-6. Want to read that, or?
Well, I want to. You go read that one. I've got something else ready to go.
Okay, let me read that.
Yeah,
and then says, and he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that you should be my servant, rise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So therein lies that. Go back and read it again, folks. Isaiah 49:5-6. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was formed in the womb to bring Jacob again. So Israel's not gathered now, yet I will be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. Says this is just you being like a messenger. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so he's rising up the tribes of Jacob, and what do we see in the beginning of Revelation in chapter 7? He's calling, 12,000 out of the 12 tribes. So it's 144,000 Jews mm-hmm. raised up out of the tribes of Jacob. Well, there it is. He's doing it, and to restore the preserved of Israel. So there's still a remnant in Israel that love the Messiah. And they will be preserved and restored. It says so right here. And I will also give thee a light for the Gentiles. That would be Christ, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the age, unto the end of the earth, it says. So Jesus is the seed of Abraham, okay? But the tribes of Jacob will bring up and restore all the preserved of Israel. So again, put it into the big picture we're building here. Put mm-hmm. those puzzle pieces in where they go. Mm-hmm. The 7-year tribulation, we see that the tribes of Israel being restored, and they're the preserved of Israel. In other words, there's going to be those who will receive the Messiah. He says they will say, who is this who, busted your hands up? He said, they got them from my friends. So they will receive the Lord, and even Jesus himself said, we will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. At the end of this age. And so here we are. All the pictures coming together more and more.
I'm going to jump in with mine now. And I'm starting here in the very end of Romans 10 in verse 21. Okay. But to Israel he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And then moving on to chapter 11, this is the one I really wanted to get to. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not, what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel. I could keep reading there, but the thing is, mm-hmm. what the point is, he's making it very, very clear here in the book of Romans, the New Testament, mm-hmm. that Israel has not been cast aside, that Israel has not lost anything. They're still given the land they got. They're still, mm-hmm. there's still a living covenant there. That's the point I wanted to make.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very powerful, actually. It said, basically, is he cast away? No. For even in Romans 9, he talks about that. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Let's say mm-hmm. to the elder, for he said to him, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and have compassion mm-hmm. on whom I have compassion. Because he mm-hmm. said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And that's, let me see, where... We had another verse in there too that was pretty powerful, along those lines. I love, was that 11:17? Yeah, I think so. That's where we were.
Let's go back to 11:11.
Yeah, 11:11, and then through 17.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
yeah.
11:11.
Yeah.
Has God cast away his people? And then I say then. Have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to mm-hmm. provoke them to jealousy. Mm-hmm. So what do you say about that?
Yeah, it's hard for them to argue at this point, those that do believe in replacement theology, that God has abandoned the Jews, because he's saying it over and over again. No, I have not. I mean, he's mm-hmm. saying it over and over again, right, David?
Exactly, because here, let's read this again. What is the purpose that salvation has come to the Jews? To provoke them to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
So through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Well, did it say salvation has come to the Gentiles so he can just forget about them?
No.
And say, oofa, I'm out of here. No. Doesn't say that. Provoke them to jealousy. Jealousy for what? Why do you provoke anyone to jealousy? So they come back to you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's trying to attract them back, and they're not listening. They don't want to do what they want to do. So he says, okay, watch this. I'm going to give this salvation to the Gentiles. And they'll be like, wait a minute. What happened? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. You know, you ran away with that other girl. You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it provokes him to jealousy to bring them back. Now, in verse 12, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Mm. Okay? So, if their fall was riches to the world and the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, when Israel comes back, watch how they're going to bless the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we see. Yeah. I mean, they're like the vast majority of Nobel Peace Prize. I think they're 3% of the world population and something like 50% of the Nobel Peace Prize winners.
At least, they got the majority, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably even more. I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So that's good. We say this all the time. Oh, life from the dead. Jesus brought me back from the dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is true, but that's not what he's saying. Okay, he's talking about Israel. Mm-hmm. If the casting away of Israel is the reconciling of the world. Okay, so in other words, this had to happen because now Jesus has the right to look out at all the other nations and usurp the authority of those other gods over the other nations. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we got the whole Babel story. They were trying to build that one thing, but now Christ is bringing the whole world together. That's why we got, the Pentecost. They all spoke and they all understood each other again.
Yeah.
So he's bringing it. So that's the reconciling of the world. We reconcile all men unto Christ. He's the Most High God. Now he rules over the whole world, not just Jerusalem. So now what happens if we receive them? Now they raise from the dead. We got Lazarus thing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's how powerful this is. If Israel comes to know Jesus, that is a resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
So yeah. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Okay? The first fruit, that's talking about the wheat. So you got the, if it's a good wheat, if it's a good lump, like a lump of dough, then the whole thing's good. The root is good, so are the branches. And that's where it kind of gets off into that. But then we talk about the olive tree here. Watch. And if some of the branches be broken off, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. So here we have Jesus is the trunk of the tree. Okay? And being the seed of Abraham physically, they were cultivated olives, basically. Now, we being wild olive trees, he would cut off the wild olives and put it into Jesus, the cultivated olive tree, and they're grafted in. Okay, but they can be cut off, all right? But if they receive Christ, he can pop them back in again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Okay, so we got the old branches are broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith, but be not high-minded. All right, so slow down, mister. But fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed that he spare not thee. So this speaks to the once saved, always saved crowd again.
Yeah, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says, listen, don't get all haughty. You know, I received Christ. I could just go do whatever I want. All right. Well, then you're not receiving his contract and you can't essentially turn away. But he said, if he actually cut off the original branches, the natural branches, don't you think if you're not bearing fruit that he'll cut you off as well? Because you're a grafted in branch. You're not there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unless you continually bear fruit. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, of which on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. That's an interesting statement. Mm-hmm. You need to continue in his goodness or you will be cut off. What happens to a branch that's cut off from the tree?
It dies.
Yeah, that's probably not a good thing.
Nope.
And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So if the Jews say, hey, I'm going to receive the Messiah and I'm going to, you know, continue in his goodness, he's going to pop them back in. So they're going to be alive
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall those which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?
Mm.
Okay, that is a powerful statement. That says if a Jew gets saved, he probably knows a lot more than you do about salvation. That's
right.
Pretty much what it says.
Right.
You know? Because they were brought up in the whole Torah, which now they can understand what that means in light of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was Isaiah said this. We had to repeat that, you know, every year we go around through the Torah and read the Torah verses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we read that 1,000 times, but now they know what it means. So, yeah.
Well, go ahead, David, and finish this off with verse 25.
All right. Go ahead.
For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in.
That is the most powerful point and a great one to end on here. All right. Don't be ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be wise in your own eyes. Oh, we replaced Israel. They're a bunch of jerks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Babylon Bee this week? They had on Tucker Carlson. He says Bigfoot came on, and he talked about how the Jews were spreading chemtrails over the flat Earth. and then Tucker's like, "Oh, that's a bold statement, but I have no reason to doubt it."
That thing is, they're crazy.
They're brilliant. And so that's where we are, you know, we're blaming the Jews for everything. Mm-hmm. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Don't be ignorant. That right. blindness is in part to Israel. Until when?
The fullness of the Gentiles comes in.
The fullness of the Gentiles, right. Okay, mm-hmm. So therein is the church age. Blindness is going to come. It's going to come the end of this church age. He's going to take everybody home. Jews and Gentiles who receive Christ are going to go up in the rapture. And then we have the wedding supper. And then for those who are left, he's going to deal specifically with Israel during that 7 years. Look it up. It's all Israel-centric. And it all follows all of the prophets. It's pretty interesting. And then, at the end of that, he's going to give them that final 7 years. He says, unto thy people, Daniel, this final week of years. Then they're going to chastise them. Two-thirds are going to be cut off. One-third is going to receive Christ again, and those are going to be the ones that inhabit the millennium. Do some research. Put the puzzle pieces together. In the meantime, if you haven't received the covenant payment that Jesus paid for your sins, I would highly recommend you do so. Then you can come with us in the rapture and have supper. Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this week's comprehensive Bible study. We pray today's teaching has strengthened your walk, deepened your understanding, and reminded you once again that every promise of God finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the true seed of Abraham. If this study blessed you, we invite you to stand with us, support the ministry, and help us continue bringing uncompromised, scripture-centered teaching to believers around the world. You can learn more, partner with us, or reach out anytime by visiting lastchristian.net. And remember, Revelation Radio broadcasts the Last Christian radio show with its powerful biblical teaching, prophetic insight, and end-time truth every single night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Make sure you join us next time for another deep dive into the Word of God as we uncover the mysteries, the patterns, and the promises that God intended for His people in these final days. Until then, stay grounded in Scripture, stand firm in your faith, and keep looking up. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon.